Welcome to the Next Gen Podcast. Stepping up to the microphone are your hosts, Bryson Wright and Alex Winton. They got next, so let's get to the show.
Hello and welcome into the Next Gen Podcast here on the Bluff City Media Podcast Network. As always, I'm your host, Bryson Wright, and I'm joined by my co-host, Alex Winton. And still another great show for you guys coming today. We're going to be talking a lot more about the rest of Grizzlies preseason, going to be giving an update on Marcus Smart, and we're also going to be getting into our rotation predictions for the first regular season game, because if you look at the schedule, we're only about a week away from opening night. It's gotten here way quicker than a lot of people probably expected. I mean, it feels like since training camp started, it's been really quick. So, first game against the Pelicans. It's going to be exciting. But before we get into the regular season stuff, we do got to finish up preseason. And that will finish up. We'll start with our preseason takeaways. Obviously, the Grizzlies will still have one more preseason game, and that will tell us a little bit more about the rotations and everything like that heading into the regular season. But so far, there's still a lot of takeaways you can have. After the last game, the first takeaway that I have is that Desmond Bain is going to be an all-star. Now, I don't know if he's going to get the votes, but the way that he's playing in limited minutes in preseason, he hasn't been playing as many minutes. He's been starting to ramp up more minutes every game, and in every game, it seems like he's gotten better. And that last game against the Heat was by far the best game that I've seen from him in this preseason. He finished with 26 points. He was 8 out of 17 from the field. He was making threes. He was driving. He was doing everything you want offensively. And I'm just so excited for him, because he's really going to get a chance to see what it's like to be like the 1A, 1B with him and Jaren early in the season. And I think that he is just going to thrive in this role. I'm really excited for Desmond Bane and what he's going to be doing this season. But the other thing that I'm excited about is the fact that it's not just his scoring. I feel like his passing is getting a lot better. He's been helping out on the glass. He's been good on defense, getting steals, getting even some blocks and stuff like that in the last game. Like the one he got on Tyler Hero was pretty cool. So, I'm really excited for Desmond Bane. That's my first takeaway. I'll leave you to go into more on that and for some more takeaways. But, yeah, my biggest takeaway from the preseason is definitely just Desmond Bane and everything that he's done. I'm really excited for his season. I think he's going to be on a different level.
Yeah. I guess the first one I would say probably is that not just Bane, but Jaren. I'd say both of them look like they're ready to kind of just be the, I mean, they already have been, but be the guys that most people don't really look at them as, or outside of Memphis. Because, I think people have the Grizzlies slated to be lower than everybody, expecting, because Ja's missed 25 games. But I've always stood on that the Grizzlies have three star guys. Like, they have them. And I think people don't still sleep on them a little bit. And so, I think, they're underrating them in the sense of, like, oh, well, they don't got Tyus Jones anymore, so now, they're not going to be the same. But they still got two star players, like you just said. I think Desmond Bane will be an all-star probably. Like, I think the numbers will be there. Again, I think he probably won't get, like, the votes in terms of, like, fans, but coaches will vote on reserves. So it's like he should be fine in that regard. But, like, also I think Jaren, too, I think both those guys are going to show that they can carry the offensive load at least as a 1A and a 1B. I just think it all comes down to, to the guys around them and if they can fit their roles, which we'll get to a little bit later. But yeah, I think that's really the thing I really saw from the preseason. Both of them guys are ready. Like, even though Jaren didn't really score the ball particularly a lot last game, I think he only had like 14 in that preseason game. He was efficient in the game. Obviously, he was defending too. Obviously, like you said, with Bane, really, I guess that is that he just looks healthy. Like, that's really the biggest thing for me with Bane. Like, you can just tell he's healthy. He's moving healthy. Like, he had a couple moves where I think there was one, he had one move, he missed it, but I think it was like he split like the double team, then did almost a reverse layup. And then there was another one where he split another like little crevice like of like defenders and then finished with like the right hand. Like, he was doing stuff like, if his toe was still hurt, he wouldn't be able to do that. Like, I like, you could just tell he's healthy. So I think that's really the main takeaway is that those guys are going to be ready to be those guys, like the star guys. But I guess the second takeaway I'd probably say is that the wings, I guess really Zaire and Roddy in particular, have played well this whole preseason. To me, those guys look like they are ready for rotation minutes and probably will be a mainstay in the rotation, just in the simple fact that they're just hitting shots and they look very confident and more in terms of what their role is and what they're doing. You know, so, and that's not, and that's with any group, whether they're with the starters or whether they're with the second unit, they've looked better. And I think another one is probably Rose looks healthy. Adams looked healthy. So, you know, I think those are really the main takeaways. Like, guys look healthy and guys are ready. So, you know, I'm excited. Obviously, we got one more preseason game, which, I mean, I think will tell us a lot about what the rotation looks like. Obviously, you know, with the smart update and all that, which we'll get into. But, yeah, I think, you know, I feel really good of what I've seen. I think there's, like, one thing about, like, the Luke not shooting the ball particularly well, but I'm not really worried. Like, I'm not worried about that. So, outside of that, like, I really have no worries. Like, I think everything's looked good so far, at least to me.
Yeah, and yeah, I like that you mentioned the wings too, because obviously Zaire Williams has been playing really great, and I think he's going to get a lot of attention, and I think he should for the way he's played the last couple of games, especially in that Miami game where he really – I mean, I think the biggest thing for me is that the jumper looks as good as it ever has. It looks better than it ever has. His confidence is better than it's ever been. And in that Miami game, you could really see a little bit more of what he can do with the ball in his hands as well. He had a nice drive that ended in an and one. He had a really nice pass to Desmond Bane in the corner too. He's gotten to show off a little bit of his playmaking ability as well in some of those lineups with the second and third unit kind of guys. So I think that's something that's also going to be really big for him this season. So I like what I've seen from Zaire. I also like what I saw from David Roddy. Like you said, in that last game, he did get the start. I do think Zaire is still going to be ahead of him, as in who's going to be the final starter, which I know we've been talking about that on every episode this preseason. I think that it's pretty clear it's probably going to be Zaire at this point, but there's still, you know, one last game. We'll probably see what a real rotation will look like in that last game against the Bucks. We'll kind of see what is that opening night rotation really going to look like, which we're going to get into our predictions for that later as well. But I think Zaire has – I think that, you know, coming into this, Taylor Jenkins said somebody was going to have to go out there and take it. And even though David Roddy has also played well, I think that Zaire – has just been like a level above, I feel like, in what he's been bringing, especially like defensively and what he can do. And especially just his length in general, I think is a big thing. And that's something that this starting lineup desperately needs. So I do feel like it's going to end up being Zaire, kind of like we've been saying the last couple of weeks. But he looks ready for the challenge. And David Roddy also looks ready for his role as well, which is probably going to be coming off the bench. But I'm not worried at all about him coming off the bench. I think that he's proven, especially in this preseason, that, you know, last year wasn't really a fluke. And I like that he hasn't just been a catch and shoot guy. I felt like last season he tried a little bit too much just to be 3-and-D, but that's not really what his advantage is on the court. His advantage is he's a strong, he's a bigger body. He can do all that kind of stuff. So I like that in preseason he's put the ball on the floor a little bit more, kind of bully people out of the way and get into the rim. Because especially in those second units, it's going to be good for the Grizzlies to have somebody that can be aggressive putting the ball on the floor. So I'm excited for David Roddy as well. But I think that the wing position has kind of stood out as, you know, coming into this, something people were worried about. We don't really know what's going to be going on with Laravia just because he was injured and he had the wrist injury, but he looked all right when he was out there. Sadly, I do think that because of that injury, he's probably going to be behind Roddy and Zaire as well. So I don't know if we're going to see a lot of him early in the season just because of that injury stuff. But we'll see what happens. But I do think that the wing position going into this was really a position where a lot of people were looking at them to say who was going to step up. This is the Grizzlies, you know, weakest part of the team. Who is going to kind of take that step and be the guy either to be in the starting lineup early in the season and then really be like that sixth, seventh dude off the bench when it comes to the playoffs. And I think that Zaire Williams and David Roddy have both made great cases. And I think Grizzlies fans should feel a lot better going into opening night than they did coming into preseason just because of the way both of those guys have played.
Yeah, I think the thing about both of them, to me, again, like you said, I think they show more than they're just 3-and-D guys, but I always say you got to make shots so the team respects your other capabilities. So, like, if Zaire and Roddy weren't hitting shots, they wouldn't be able to show that they could attack off of closeouts because they're not going to be respected. Like you said, with Zaire, he's being able to show that he can make the right read and be a connector because he was knocking down a couple shots. Once he started getting going, now they're, okay, they got to respect it. Now you can just put the ball on the floor or one dribble, you know, a pump fake and then get to the middle of the lane, and that's making other defenders collapse, and he's making the right read. Same with Roddy. And then with Roddy, with a little bit different element, he's a bigger player, like you said, so he can get to the basket, actually finish at the basket. But I think Zaire, even then in the pick and rolls, look good because he's been able to really get to a mid-range or sometimes a floater. So, you know, for them to be secondary in those, like, secondary type of actions as playmakers or shot creators is really beneficial just because, you know, that's just what they're probably going to be in anyway. So, but, yeah, it all comes down to them hitting shots, though. So they got to make wide-open shots. I think, you know, again, I don't think they should just be 3-and-D in the sense of, like, that's all they do. Like, if I'm wide open or if I'm not shooting a shot, I can't do anything else offensively. I'm not saying that. But if you're open, mate, you just got to make shots. Like, as simple as that, catch and shoot, because that's what that wing position was what we need. Because, again, that's been a thing that's been a inconsistent thing for this team. Like, they get open threes all the time. It's just about making them. They've always been more of a team that really hasn't been able to make a lot of threes. And now that you have, obviously, Bane, which has been on the team, and Luke now for a full season, and hopefully, you know, those guys are going to continue to shoot the ball well. But now you're adding maybe – a couple other plus shooters. If Zaire could be, 36% from three, if Roddy could be 35, 36% from three, if Santi can make a leap, I think he shot like 36, 37 last year, but if he can get up to like 38, 39, you're talking about a lot of guys. I think maybe you only got maybe two or three guys that are really not shooters are in your rotation. And again, you need guys that are respectable on the floor because you need your offense to flow. You need the spacing because that's really what it is about. That's why the new off, I'm going to say new offense, but revamp offense is more about five-out spacing, and it's hard to have five-out spacing if you have no shooting on the floor. So, yeah, I think that's really what they got to do, and obviously defend, but, I mean, I'm not really worried about that because, again, they're going to be playing with guys like Smart and Jaren defensively where they'll be able to be more aggressive on the ball and certain mistakes can be covered up. But, yeah, I mean, I think, like you said, the fans should feel good about both of them. Even Jake, again, like we'll get into – he got hurt, and like I said it on Twitter, there's like a little meme. Like I can just feel it. Like it happened last year where Jake got hurt and then he got buried on the bench. And again, that's not because he can't play. It's just when you got guys that are just, hey, your availability is the best like thing to have. So like, you know what I mean? So like if you're not available, then it's hard to really take advantage of the opportunity. And so the same, we saw that with Zaire last year. That's what happened to him. And so that's why I'm just hoping he's healthy. And same for Roddy. And so, you know, like it's just going to be hard for him to get on the floor, but he was good in the minutes he played. So all the wings showed a lot of promise, I would say, to me, you know, you should feel good about any of them playing in the regular season, as of now. Obviously we got to get there and see hope it translates, but I got a really good feeling, that it will translate.
Yeah, no, I definitely feel the same way. And then, keeping on kind of like talking about some of the young players that have really stood out, I did also want to talk about Santi Aldama just because I feel like that's another young player that I feel like the way that he's played, Grizzlies fans should be excited about that. He's been averaging 13 points per game so far, and I think that, you know, he's been really efficient. The three ball hasn't been as good as maybe you would hope, but he has so much other stuff to his game that he's much more than just a catch and shoot guy. And I think that throughout the season, we're going to see him kind of continue to get into rhythm because in FIBA and stuff like that, I felt like he was really good from beyond the arc. And another thing is I think he's been really helpful on the glass. He's only playing about 20 minutes and he's up to averaging about 6 rebounds a game almost 6 a game so far in the preseason. So I think that's something that's going to be really helpful just because the Grizzlies have had some issues when it comes to rebounding besides Steven Adams and rebounding if Steven Adams isn't there, especially because there's no Brandon Clark. And we know how big he has been as a rebounder when he's in there. Even going back to that Timberwolves series where he had one of the best rebounding performances I've ever seen in a playoff series. So they're still trying to replace that, and I still don't think Santi Aldama is quite to that level on the glass, but he's done a really good job of that. And another thing he's done a really good job of is being like the secondary, tertiary kind of playmaker when he's out there. They've been doing a lot of things where they might, you know, have him in the post and make him like the post playmaker. He had that really nice kind of between the legs pass to Desmond Bane in the last preseason game. And it was really like Mark Gasol-esque, you know, kind of. That's what it kind of reminded me of, like the big man, get the ball in the paint, make the nice bounce pass and all that. So he's done a lot of that. He's averaging about 2 assists so far, and I don't think you can really ask for him to do much more than that, especially in the few minutes he's doing. But I think that that's just going to be a big part of his game, is that he is a playmaker, even though he's not going to have the ball in his hands that much. When he does, he can make plays not only for himself, but also for his teammates. And I think he's just going to be a mismatch a lot of the time when he's playing at the four, just because he's bigger than a lot of people that play at the four, or he might be quicker than a lot of people to play at the four. So based on how you guard him, I think he's going to be able to have a mismatch on a lot of those, especially coming in on those second units and everything. So I'm excited to see how Santi Aldama continues that kind of going into the regular season.
I'll say quick on Santi. The funniest thing about Santi is the passing, because the passing, like, he can pass, but it's just funny because he'll pull these flashy passes out of nowhere. And I always say he looks funny doing it. It's just, you don't expect that from a 7-footer. Like, he's very confident in these passes. Like you were talking about, last game he had one to Bane that was like, I think it was like on the baseline. Basically, I think he was at the free throw line. And basically Bane did like a cut like right under the rim. And then after that, he did through like a behind the bounce pass, like very just casually. Like, it's just very funny when he pulls out those flashy passes. But yeah, no, I think Santi, at least to me, I felt started the preseason slow, and I feel like he's been very up and down in the sense of like he'll be very, you know, like seem like he's looks lost all of a sudden, but then he'll go on a stretch where, like you said, like he's just starting to hit shots, playing defense. So like, you know, I'm not really worried about him. I think it's just obviously just, again, it's just going through the preseason, getting a rhythm. So I'm not really too worried about him. But yeah, I think he's played well. And, you know, hopefully, again, for me, the focus is obviously the rebounding and defense. I think the numbers have been fine. I do think there's been times where I've seen him rebound and he's not putting a body on somebody. So I do think it still has to improve. But I am encouraged by what I've seen. And I am glad that he's playing more minutes with Jaren, because I think that's going to be a thing that they probably go to a little bit more this season, especially with no BC. I think that's the thing that they're probably going to really try to maximize playing in space. And Santi offers that, where they can go basically five out. And that gives more opportunities for not only Santi to thrive, but Jaren to thrive in the post and not really have any help. Now, if they got a double, you play a lineup with Jaren, Santi, Luke, Bane, and Jar Smart. Like, you basically got to pick your poison if Smart or Jar is the ball handler in that situation. So, yeah, I do think Santi has played well. And yeah, I'm very encouraged by what I saw. And hopefully it translates into the regular season.
For sure, for sure. And then we got to talk about Gigi Jackson too, just because I know Gigi Jackson is not going to play for the Grizzlies this season a lot, if at all. He's going to be mostly on the hustle, and I think that's going to be really good for his development. But the way that he played in that game against the Hawks, I mean, obviously the efficiency isn't there yet. I mean, he took 23 shots to get there, but the fact that this is a dude that I'm going to keep going back to the fact that he's 2 weeks away from being born in 2005. Like, he's 18 years old. He's going to have 2 years of NBA experience under his belt before his 20th birthday. And he is already going out here and having a 24-point game. He made a clutch three-pointer in that game. He started 0 for 5. So just to see somebody, you know, come out, start 0 for 5, and then not lose the confidence, and then turned it into a really good game. And then defensively, he looks like one of those guys. Like, he could be perfect playing next to a guy like Jaren, because I just feel like all the stuff that he does on defense can kind of supplement what Jaren does. He looks like he could help in terms of rebounding as well. You know, he's a big frame, big body, and stuff like that. And then he's super athletic. Like, he's just incredibly athletic, and you can kind of see that. And I think he's going to continue to kind of grow into his body a little bit more, too, because you kind of saw that when Jaren came into the league, too. Obviously, Gigi's not as big as Jaren is. He could still be growing. He's only 18, so he could grow more, but he's not as tall as Jaren is, obviously. He's more like 6'8", 6'9". But he's, you know, he's got a long wingspan. He's very athletic. He had some nice blocks in that game against the Hawks as well, too. So not somebody we're going to see a lot of. So that's one of the reasons why I did want to talk a little bit about it now. I am going to be trying to keep track of his stats in the Hustle and try to keep everybody updated on what he's looking like. Because, I mean, just based on what we've seen from him in the preseason, obviously he has a long way to go. But you can't tell me, like, in 2 to 3 years, I could see him being, like, a really good NBA player. You know, now maybe not saying he's going to be, like, an all-star level player, but, like, somebody that can supplement what Ja, Jaren, and Bane are going to be doing on the court. And I think he could fit in really well in a lineup with them. And like I said, those guys are locked up long term. So this is something you can do. You can look at this guy and be like, okay, what can he be in 2 years? Because you're probably going to have about the same guys around him just because of how their contracts and stuff are set up. But yeah, I'm really excited for what Gigi Jackson has shown. And I think that he's on track to be better than the 45th overall pick. I'll tell you that.
For Gigi, I'm going to say this real quick. For Gigi Jackson, it's all about flashes for me, at least right now. Because like you said, he's young. Like, he's like literally like 18, like 19. Like, he's young. Like, we should not be worried about Gigi Jackson in terms of being consistent right now. If any little Gigi Jackson flashes I see, regardless of percentages, all that, I'm going to take. He's trying to figure it out. Like you said, he's supposed to be in high, like college. Like, he's not supposed to be – I'm not saying not supposed to be here, but you get what I'm saying. Like, he's super young, like kid. So it's going to take some time. So he's probably, what, 2-3 years away, I've always said. But, like, you see the flashes, like you said, in the Hawks game, where at the end he was making plays on both sides of the ball. And obviously he's going to have some moments where he wasn't. Like, I think he started out the game really kind of slow when he started playing. But again, like, dude is a 6'9", basically combo forward, basically. And I think the biggest thing for him is obviously you want to see the creation. I know people get excited about his creation ability at 6'9". But a lot of his best stuff comes when he's a play finisher, where he's playing out of the pick and roll, and he's more so the roller or a guy where he can be a catch and shoot guy. Like, that's really where his best stuff was. If you look at not his South Carolina tape, but really more so his AAU tape, where he really flashed a lot of that. And I think that can fit with Ja, Jaren, and Bane. But it's just about the little stuff, you know, learning how to guard in the NBA defensively at his position, knowing how to basically play within the flow of the offense while still being your own player. Like, he's learning that, and he's going to learn that in the system. So once he gets that time and gets the reps, I do think he can be a good player here. Again, he fell to 45, obviously because of this stuff like that and, you know, the season he had. But again, it's all about situation where you go. And I think this is probably one of the better, if not the best situation for him to go, is here because of the infrastructure that we have with developing players and things of that nature. So, you know, you just got to give him time. So, yeah, I mean, I think he's going to be a G League guy that people love. You know, there are going to be a lot of people at them games just because of Gigi Jackson. I do believe, like, I think he's going to really ball out. So, yeah, I think it's going to be funny because, you know, we're going to see some Gigi Jackson jerseys. I would not be surprised if we see some bootleg Gigi Jackson jerseys eventually down the line just because that's how well he's playing and people are that excited about him. So, yeah, you know, I'm excited to see what he showed. So, you know, I'm not really too pressed about him. Like, I'm glad that we have him in the system. And, you know, you can be cool with him being 2-3 years away knowing where your roster's at. You already got a good team. It's not like, you know, you need him to be good right away. So I think that's the best part about it. So, yeah, he just needs to trust the process. We need to trust the process as a fan base and just let him develop at his own pace.
Yeah, definitely. And then kind of moving on, like, just from straight up preseason takeaways to something that came out just as this week was going on, and that is the update on Marcus Smart's injury. We know that he's had an abdominal strain and he hasn't really been able to play at all in the preseason, so we haven't really got to evaluate what he can really look like on this team yet. But the plan is to continue to ramp him up throughout the week so that on Friday, he'll be ready to play in the last preseason game against the Bucks. They said he's been going through tough workouts. There's been videos of him warming up before the games, even though he hasn't been playing in the games. And they're really working to have him ramped up and ready for that game on Friday so that we can at least see what he'll look like just one time before the regular season. But honestly, for me, I'm not necessarily worried about what Marcus Smart is going to be bringing to the team, just because I think it's a role that he's going to be kind of used to playing, because he's going to be playing off of, you know, two other players, where he's used to playing off of more Jason Tatum, Jaylen Brown. He's going to be playing off of Desmond Bane and Jaren Jackson Jr. I think that he knows how to do that. He understands the role he needs to play on the team, especially offensively. And then I think on defense, he's going to get the best out of everybody on that end of the floor. I think that we're going to get to see, you know, his communication on defense really help the team in general, because, you know, Jaren's a great defender, defense player of the year, all that. And he has good communication on defense too. But I think just having both of them out there at the same time, we're going to see that just take it to a whole nother level. And I think that's going to just reverberate throughout the whole team. You know, you start with Marcus Smart, Jaren Jackson Jr., and it's going to rub off on guys like Desmond Bane, who's not a bad defender, but obviously maybe not to the level of Marcus Smart and stuff like that. So he's going to be helping all those guys, and I'm excited for what he can do that. And I think defense has been something that the Grizzlies have been lacking in the preseason. It's preseason, so some of that could be, you know, lack of effort maybe on every play when it comes to a preseason game and stuff like that. But I think if you look across the NBA in preseason, there's going to be high scoring games because it's preseason. But I do think that there is still an issue in terms of like point of attack defense that the Grizzlies have, because right now they've lost Dylan Brooks, who was their best point of attack defender, and they haven't had the person that they brought in to replace him yet. So I think just adding Marcus Smart, will finally get to see all the pieces of the offseason finally come together. And I think we'll finally get to see like what, you know, Zach Kleiman's vision for the team was going into the offseason. It might not look awesome the first preseason game or maybe the first week of the season, but I do think that it's a role Marcus Smart has been used to playing, and I think that it's a role that he's going to be a star in as the season continues to go on.
Yeah, I'm interested to see how Smart fits. I mean, I'm not really worried about how he fits. I'm just interested to see, because we've kind of seen how the team looks now. We can only go off of what we've heard about Smart, and it sounds like he's been really good. You know, and we can still only imagine. Like, I'll say this, I saw, like, this was a couple weeks ago, it was like a video, I think it's called, it was by Hoop Venues, about like how Smart fits, and you know, it kind of just, you know, has clips and stuff like that, so about like how he would fit here and, you know, things of that nature. And I think one thing they talked about was the playmaking, which I think is the biggest thing that I think is going to really be underrated in a sense, because no disrespect, I'm not trying to bring his name up in disrespect, I said it on Twitter. But I said it's cool to watch the Grizzlies have consistent ball movement, knowing that we won't have a random DB heat check. And now, granted, Smart has random DB heat checks at moments. Like, there'll be times that Smart, I have friends that are Celtics fans, they've talked about Smart being able, you know, he'll take some unillabized shots. But we are talking about a guy that has averaged like 6 assists the last couple of years and has only averaged like 2 turnovers. Like, he's been a really good guard. Now you're talking about him playing, well, obviously not job to start, but playing next to guys that, like a Bane, who can make plays. You know what I mean? And so you're playing with guys, not only that, but you're playing with guys that are unselfish. So I think that in itself, him being connector, is going to really help this offense keep flowing and moving, even if they're not necessarily hitting wide open shots a lot of times. Sometimes, you know, the offense will still flow. And obviously defensively, you know what he brings. Like, that's no question. I think, you know, at least with the defense in the preseason, I just go off kind of like the first half, because that's really where the starters play, you know, most of their majority of their minutes. And I feel like the defense has been okay, but I do think it obviously can have some improvement. So, you know, having Smart into the fold, I think will help them not only, you know, just from him individually guarding, but like you said, like with other players wanting to play, you know, seeing him set the tone, I think is really going to help. But I think the real interesting thing is how the shooting holds up. because again, Smart is a very streaky shooter. He's been a better shooter in the playoffs, but obviously this regular season, he's more lower 30s. And I think on catch and shoot, he might be like average, like 33, 34. So that's really what I'm interested to see. Because again, they're going, you know, if they're going to talk about who they're going to leave open in the starting lineup, obviously, it's probably going to be Smart, you know what I mean? Or Zaire, if he does start, those type of guys. So they're going to have to make shots. You know, I think Smart's going to have to make some big shots. I'm not saying he's going to make 40%, but again, I'm just asking for league average. So I think that's really going to be the big thing, how he plays off the ball. I think he's a good cutter, so I'm not really worried about that. But really just the shot-making ability is what I really want to see. But I think, obviously, the defense and the playmaking and even the rebounding to the degree at his position, because he's a pretty solid rebounder, I think it's going to really just help them with the little intangible stuff that people won't really notice. Like, he could end up having a box score of, like, 4 points, 6 rebounds, and 6 assists, but he might be, the second most impactful player on the team that game just because of the little stuff he does. So, yeah, I'm interested to see how he fits. Hopefully this injury is not like a reoccurring thing because I was a little concerned about it because it came out of nowhere, it seemed like, because he wasn't playing in open practice. So it was kind of like, you know, we didn't hear anything about it. But, you know, hopefully he does play in the last preseason game, which, I mean, it sounds like he's going to. You know, hopefully everything goes well leading up to the last game. But, yeah, I'm excited to see how he fits because, again, they – like you said, with Zach Kleiman, they were not only Zach, but Taylor Jenkins. They were smiling ear to ear in that press conference because it felt like he was going to bring a lot to the table. So, you know, I'm ready to see it because, again, all I've heard about is, you know, he's been good at practice, this and that. I'm ready to see it. We all ready to see it because, again, you know, like this is going to be you spent draft capital to bring him here. Like you spent some stuff to bring him here. So you are ready to see how that fits into the fold because, again, he's going to be a big piece here. You know, they didn't just give up 2 first-rounders just for him to be the 8th man, you know what I mean? Like, or the 9th man. Like, they expect him to be, like, one of those guys that could finish playoff games. So, you know, I'm interested to see how it unfolds.
Yeah, for sure. I know there have been some people that have thought about that, like, is he really going to be a starter and stuff like that? I mean, like you just said, they spent 2 first-round picks to get him. Part of the trade that they lost Tyus Jones to bring him in as well. So this is somebody they're going to – like, not to say they're going to force him in the starting lineup, but they want him to be a starter. And I think he's going to be a starter, you know, basically the whole season. Even though I think Zaire is going to be really good in that starting group early on, if he is the starter, I do feel like instead of making Marcus Smart the backup point guard, they will play him and basically make him the de facto 3 on defense. You know, I think that's probably what we're going to see more of than having Zaire. But as we kind of get into this, talking about the rotation prediction, I wouldn't be surprised if we see a lineup where you start with, you know, after Ja Morant comes back from the suspension, you might start with Ja, Smart, Bane, and then Zaire might come in for Smart, and then Smart can come back in and run point guard with the second unit. So, like, there's a lot of stuff you can do with the rotation when you get there. But talking, like, open and night, I do think if Marcus Smart can go and if Marcus Smart is healthy, which it sounds like he's going to be, it's going to be Marcus Smart, Desmond Bane, Zaire Williams, Jaren Jackson Jr., Steven Adams. And then for basically if you're having like a 10, I'll say they'll probably go 10 deep most nights, I'd say. So, I mean, Derrick Rose is going to be the backup point guard. Luke Kennard is going to be the de facto 6th man. David Roddy is going to be playing a lot of minutes. Santi Aldama is going to play a lot of minutes. And I think Xavier Tillman is really probably going to be that backup center spot right now. I think, you know, Kenneth Lofton Jr., even though he has had some good games in the preseason, I do think that just for defensive purposes, they'll probably have Tillman above him and because of how he played in the playoffs last year too. Not to say that Lofton is never going to play. I think that there are some matchups where he probably will. But I just think going as, like, the top 10, that's probably what it would be. And then, like, the other guys on the team, like Conchar and stuff like that, are going to be kind of probably on the bench, maybe play in certain situations or play if there's injuries and stuff like that, which is not to say that they're not good players or anything, because I know a lot of people talk about John Conchar. And I always say, like, I like John Conchar, but I like John Conchar. I think John Conchar is cool, but he's just not – when you have David Roddy and Zaire Williams playing the way they have been playing, he's not really going to be getting minutes. And I think that's what you've seen in the preseason. So just a couple guys that we have seen in the rotation before, not going to be there this season. Obviously, they're going to be missing Tyus Jones because he's not on the team anymore. It'll be really interesting to see how they do navigate that. But like I said, Derrick Rose, I think, has been one of the biggest surprises of the preseason as well, even though he hasn't really played as much the last couple games. But those first two games, he came out and really made the statement he needed to make of saying, even though he has gotten older, he's been through injuries, he can still bring a lot to the table, not just as a scorer, but also as a facilitator and stuff like that with the second unit. And I think it's going to be really big to see how he plays. But, yeah, I think that we have a pretty good idea of what the rotation is going to look like going into the season now. On Friday, we'll have an even better look because I think Taylor Jenkins is probably going to take that as like a dress rehearsal for the regular season. I mean, you're playing on the road against one of the best teams in the NBA for the upcoming season as well. Probably we'll see Dame and Giannis in that game as well. So a good way to kind of measure yourself up with a team like that, especially with Marcus Smart coming back. Great way for Marcus Smart possibly to come back, first game back. Welcome, here's Damian Lillard. But, I mean, I'm still very excited. I'm very excited for this last game and to finally see the full-strength Grizzlies of at least the first 25 games.
Yeah, I totally agree. I think that's going to be the lineup. I'd be very surprised if that wasn't the lineup going into the season. Just – I Taylor Jenkins said it consistently the whole time, that fifth starter is going to be determined on the defensive side of the ball. And Zaire, obviously out of the wing group, has been the best defender. Not only that, he's hitting shots. So if you're saying defense is the thing and he's doing that and he's hitting shots, I don't think it's a real big discussion. Just because we've seen him in that spot before. We've seen him be a starter before and be really good at it, being a guy that's just a connector or like a fourth guy just playing next to stars. Like that's what he's going to do. Again, he's playing next to Jaren and Bane as the star guys, also Smart. So those guys are just going to fit in and really be good. I'm interested to see how that lineup is defensively because they're going to probably be that, like, they're doubling down that they want to be the best defensive team in the league. So I'm very interested to see how that defense is because, again, I know you were talking about point of attack. I would not be surprised if they tried Zaire at times to be a point of attack defender and then having Smart and Jaren as roamers. Like, that could be kind of scary. Like, they got a lot of options they could do defensively in that lineup because essentially their smallest player in that lineup is Smart. Whereas Zaire is 6'9", Jaren's 6'11", Adams is 7 feet tall. I mean, basically 6'11", 6'7", where, however you want to say. I think 6'11" is basically 7 feet. And then you got Bane at 6'6", and then Smart 6'4". Like, they can do a lot in that lineup defensively. I think the second unit in regard defensively might leave a lot to be desired just because, you know, you got a lot of guys that are not really great defenders in that lineup. I say Roddy might be the best defender out of the lineup or X. I think Santi leaves out. But, again, I think they'll probably play with some starters, like they'll stagger the minutes, so it won't just be a full bench lineup, like a full platoon lineup, five in, five out. I don't think Jenkins has ever really been that type of person. So they'll probably just, you know, they'll stagger minutes and things of that nature. But I do think that's going to be the 10. So, you know, I'm not, you know, again, like you said, with the Conchars and Jake LaRavias and the Roddy, or not Roddy's, but the Loftons, they'll play in spots. I think, you know, again, they'll play when guys are rested or guys are hurt. But I think those 10 guys have established themselves as rotation guys, especially the wings in particular, because that was really the question about it. I know Rose was a question, but I was always confident Rose was going to show that he could play. Even if it's just in spurts, you know, obviously we knew Luke was going to play. We knew Santi was going to play. We knew X was going to play. It was really about what the wings were going to do. We knew everybody else was going to play, but what were the wings going to do in particular? And I feel like Zaire and Roddy really showed that they should play. So, yeah. And I mean, I'm confident with that 10. Like, that, I think that 10 is going to be really good in that first 25 games. Again, I think they're going to win. I'm not going to say they're going to go 20-5, but it wouldn't surprise me if they went 25. It just would not. Like, I really am that confident in this team just because of, they're not really going to miss a beat. Like, they got their stars. They're going to be – the schedule's kind of favored for them to really get off to a good start. So all they really got to do is just really, you know, stick with it. And that's why I said the Smart thing will be important, how he fits into everything, getting that preseason game under wraps, you know, getting the, you know, the chemistry with the guys. And that's why I think it will be a dress rehearsal. But I'm very confident that lineup will really not skip – like, miss a beat. And then you'll have guys, you know – media, people be like, how are the Grizzlies so good again? And then we've been on this podcast the last month and a half talking about why these guys are going to be good again. So, you know, I feel really good about the lineup. I think that will be the lineup. You know, it's not obviously official. I just have a feeling that's what the lineup will be. But when I do see it, which I feel like we will, I feel pretty good about it.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, obviously, I feel good about it too. I like what you said about them staggering the minutes, because I think that's going to be really the biggest thing for them. Because, I mean, obviously every team does it, but I think that is one thing that they do have in terms of being able to stagger minutes like that, is they have a lot of positional versatility, especially with, you know, the way Zaire has kind of broken out this season too. Because, you know, like I said, there's going to be times where you might start with Marcus Smart, especially once Ja comes back. You might start with Marcus Smart in the game, then you'll bring in Zaire, and then you'll bring Marcus Smart back in, and it might be Smart with Luke Kennard and David Roddy, maybe Jaren Jackson Jr. still out there, though. So it's like they're going to kind of mix and match to kind of the lineups. I think we will see some more Jaren and Santi front courts as well throughout the season. Not going to be something we're going to see as a starting unit, but I think that's something we could see, like with a lot of those bench units, is we might see a front court of Jaren and Santi, and I think offensively it's going to be really good. And I think if Santi can continue to rebound the way he has been, and if Jaren is as committed to being a better rebounder as he has said he's going to try to be this year, I think that can really work really well too. So there's a lot of stuff you can do. And I think we're also going to see some Zaire Williams playing, not only playing as a wing, maybe also playing some two guard with the second unit as well. Maybe you run a lineup that has Kennard and Zaire basically playing the one and two, because they both can do some stuff with the ball in their hands, but they've done it in the past with Desmond Bane too. So you might have a lineup where Desmond Bane is running point guard with Zaire Williams at shooting guard, and both of them have some playmaking ability and stuff like that. So I think that just they have a lot of versatility in terms of what they can do with Zaire's kind of jump as well. I think that's going to be a big deal. And then adding Marcus Smart, is going to be like the last puzzle piece, because even in, I know it's preseason and everything, but it kind of feels like they're still missing something, you know, just to kind of really be a complete team. And I feel like seeing them with Marcus Smart is going to kind of help pull the team together, and you can kind of really see like what the vision is going to be and everything like that. But yeah, I'm excited for this last preseason game, excited for the regular season to get started. Like I said, coming in, like last week, it's always good. I love talking about the Grizzlies and the offseason and everything like that. But now that the season has really started, this is when it finally really – this is when it starts getting real, when it starts getting even more fun to, like, do this podcast and stuff like that. But like I always say, I appreciate everybody that listened to this week's episode of the podcast. And we're going to be back next week talking about Grizzlies opening night. As always, I'm your host, Bryson Wright, and I was joined by my co-host, Alex Winton. And we'll see y'all next week right here on the Bluff City Media Podcast Network.
Thank you for listening to this episode of the Next Gen Podcast. If you enjoyed this episode, leave a like and a comment wherever you download your podcasts. Head over to www.bluffcitymedia.co, where you will find comprehensive coverage of all things Memphis sports and how you can become an insider. We'll see you back here next time.